Think we're on? Very good. Good morning. It's good to see you here today. We have a whole lot of people left that have left for time away or are sick, homesick today. Kids, a lot of kids that are sick, and we have the kind of the end of the traveling season, and then you go back to school, then everybody gets sick. And they, you know, it's kind of the way that it goes sometimes. But it's good to have you here today. We are having the men's training class tonight. How many are planning on being there tonight? Okay. Again, my encouragement, if you are a song leader, I would really encourage you to be there. We are going to be talking about things that are very critical to the role of song leading, even though I'm not a song leader. I like to talk to song leaders to make them understand, help them understand just how important their role is and some things that might be good for every song leader to bring to the table as he is leading the assembly in worship. So I strongly encourage you. We also have a meeting coming up in about a month with Boyd King. He's going to be leading us in some topics around worship, and it's kind of designed around song leading also. And he's a fantastic song leader, and he's going to be teaching us some things regarding song leading and also working with some of the men, trying to help them to develop skills. So right now, just try to be here. Come Sunday, we're going to have a singing at about 2 o'clock, and we'll send out the invitation to everyone, all the churches, to come if they'd like to for that. But right now, just plan on being here, if you will, and let's worship our God in this meeting. Well, this is a very critical sermon. It's simple, but it's very critical. To me, it becomes one of those sermons that enters into the top zone of sermons that people have to understand, teachings that people have to understand. If they don't understand this, if you don't understand this, you're missing everything in your Christianity. And there are a lot of different lessons, a lot of different truths that go there, but this is one of the critical truths. How often we miss really what's going on in worship, we want to talk about that in just a little bit. Before we do that, let's begin to work on some memory work together. How about this for a memory verse? Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, you are my God, earnestly I will seek you. You feel the earnestness in this verse. And my soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you. You feel the intensity in the soul for the psalmist declaring his need for God. And my flesh faints for you as in a dry place. We're in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. And I hope that captures your soul. It's a very meaningful verse. It's a great memory verse for you to be able to bring to your tongue. For we are disciples of our God. We are not into the analytical merely. We are into serving God with our heart. This is a great heart verse. So today, here's what we're going to do. Talk about worship as being so much more than sometimes we think it is. Maybe we've missed the point. Maybe we sometimes approach worship with sterility and distraction or with a sense of duty. Secondly, worship truly is a true connection to God. We are in His presence, and let's bring home what that really means. It's a wonderful and beautiful thing. And then lastly, some simple thoughts about proving your own true worship. We are here to exalt our God. We are here to worship. And let's bring that home. That's what we're talking about today. That's what it's all about. So we know this song as the deer pants for water. It's a song we sing in worship, but maybe this is the way that we enter worship sometimes. Maybe this is the way that we think. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my... Let me see, what time is it getting to be anyway? My heart's desire... Oh man, she really bugs me. And I long... Man, how many songs are we going to sing today? To worship you. That was a long prayer. Why does he always have to lead prayers like that? You alone are my strength. That's going to be so much fun later. I'm just really looking forward to that. My shield... Man, look at his head. He's really getting older, isn't he? You alone, to you alone may my spirit... I really should answer that text. yield. You alone are my heart's desire. The Chiefs are playing. I wonder what the score is right now. And I long to worship you. Well, I've done my duty. Let's go eat. How often has worship been like that for you? I will admit, sometimes my mind has wandered. Sometimes I've forgotten maybe what it was all about. Maybe for a whole worship assembly. Sometimes we can even have a view wherein we don't really get worship and we don't bring it home as being important, as important as God designed it to be. Well, that's what we're looking at today. We want to understand that worship is a very, very important communication. It's a communing, if you will, fellowship with God. God has designed it. And sometimes we're full of distractions. Sometimes we're full of maybe sterile focus, maybe a critical spirit. And because of the way we approach our worship to God, it loses all of its function. It loses all of its meaning, all of its fire, and all of its fuel. If we don't worship God properly, then what are we getting out of worship? The truth is, if you don't worship God properly, who's in your heart? You see, we come to God sometimes, I'm going to go worship God, but if you're not worshiping God, who's in control of your heart if you're not really worshiping God when you're here to worship God? Does Satan get into us? Certainly he does. So as we consider some things, maybe we've missed the point. John 4, the hour cometh, Jesus says, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman, and he says they will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. He's seeking the worshipers. Those who will line up with him, they will be those that he blesses. God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship in two things. What are they? In spirit and in truth. I think we've learned to worship him according to his truth, for the most part. And that is, of course, the way of his truth, the method of his truth. How does God want us to worship him? Does he want us to get together and sling pizzas at each other, you know? Does he want us to get together and golf, you know, on the Lord's Day? I hope we know that there is a truth that we follow. But, you know, if we have only truth in our worship, we have totally missed the entirety of what our Christianity is all about. If your worship is only the truth and only understanding analytically the method that God has given, and you are not moved in your spirit to present yourself to God and to be in the presence of God, then you've missed it all, haven't you? We worship him, he said, first of all, spirit and in truth. And if you take either one of those away, if you take truth away, what do you have? You have a miserable, erroneous condition of wickedness. But if you have truth and you take the Spirit away, what do you have? You have an empty heart that really just does not get what it's all about. David, could you? There you go. Thank you. Spirit and truth, not just one of them, they both walk together. Worship really is something very, very important. The inherent foundation of worship is an awesome connection of the divine. We're going to be looking at Psalms today. The Psalms are the heart collection in the Scriptures. It's such the heart of discipleship. And in the Psalms, we have built really this awesome connection with the divine. Worship is about a connection. It is a community. It is a very special thing that's going on. It is a linking, if you will, as we said in the title. It is a linking with God. Worship is to link up with God. Worship is to be in connection with God. Worship is not to check a box and say, I did my duty. Worship is to connect my heart and my soul with my God and to be in connection with him as I am worshiping him. That's what worship is all about. And it truly is a matter of a heart that has been overwhelmed, and the heart is expressing itself. as it is overwhelmed by God, who God is, there must be something that comes out of my heart towards God as I am overwhelmed with who He is. That's what worship is all about. As we put ourselves with and into God, we enter into a true fellowship, a true channel, a true bond and connection with God. We enter into the zone, if you will. It's not the zone of remoteness. Not the zone where I did my duty. I walk away. I went to assembly. I did not forsake the assembly today. I checked the box and I did my duty. If that's the way you feel when you walk away, you're missing it all. Because God wants you to enter the worship zone. He wants you to enter the worship connection. He wants you to enter into that worship fellowship that is between you and Him. And that's not done by a remote checkbox sort of mentality or only having a data mentality. And you all know what I mean, don't you? We want truth. It is a primary. But if truth is not moving our spirits, moving our souls, then we're wasting our time. Truth without the Spirit is a useless thing that will not take us to heaven, but accomplishes actually the will of Satan. You are my God, I will exalt you, the psalmist said, Psalm 118. Psalm 103, how's this for someone who's just into how great his God is and just wanting to exalt God in his spirit? Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, all you armies of God, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works. Do you see someone in the zone? You see someone overwhelmed with the greatness of God? Someone overwhelmed that He would tell the angels, make sure you're giving God the glory that He needs to have, or that you need to give to Him. That's someone that's in connection and understands what worship is about, right? And the exaltation of God. And then he says, lastly, bless the Lord, O my soul. He was getting it, wasn't it? Here's an overwhelmed heart expressing its great view of God and exaltation of God. Of course, we're in a collectivity. The collectivity of disciples, hearts together. You know, God designed this to be. We come together, we worship. And it can be a very beautiful thing. As every one of us understand what worship is, expressing the greatness of God, and we're coming together and we bring all of that together for us together in unity and collectivity to exalt our God in heart and in voice. In prayer. It's a beautiful thing. God designed this for us, didn't He? Well, let's look at some of these things we see in the Psalms that are very critical to worship. You realize, of course, when we come together and worship, we're coming into the presence of God. You do realize that, right? Let us come, Psalm 95:2, before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us come before His presence. When we come together, we're entering the presence of God. You know what's happening right now? Right now, God is with us in a special way. God is always with us. We live in fellowship with God, right? But right now, we gather as His body. We gather as His saved church. Right now, there is something very special going on as we are in a very special communing with our God. God is here right now, brethren. God is here. He listens. He is participating. He is receiving what we are giving. This is the worship of the collectivity. Let us come before His presence. We are in the presence of God. And I'm mindful of Moses as he approached the burning bush. You remember what the voice said? Take off your sandals. Why? You're on holy ground. Moses was in the presence of God. And there was something very, very special there. When we come together, we come in the presence of God. We're not coming to check a box and say, I did my duty. I didn't forsake the assembly. I'm coming to give my heart to God. I'm coming to exalt Him. I'm coming in His presence with others that are in His presence. And today we are in His church. And we are in His presence. Right now we are exalting who He is as our great God. There's a mentality to this, of course, a way of thinking. You have to put yourself there. Once you put yourself there, then some of these things that we are going to be talking about start to happen. It's only until you see yourself in the presence of God will the following things we talk about really mean anything to your heart. But we continue on and we see the Psalms pointing us in certain directions. Now you realize the Psalms were the songbook, right? The Psalms, everything you read in the Psalms are things they talked about in worship. Read all the Psalms. All the content of all those Psalms was worship content. Some is exalting God. Some is the calling on God to help. Some is the awareness of my wickedness, etc., etc. But the Psalms, all the content of the Psalms were a matter of what they brought in worship to their God. We can't look at 150 Psalms and get it all out of there today. Let's run through some things that are very important. His awesome greatness. In the Psalms, there's the awesome greatness of God. Sing out the honor of His name, 66:2. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your works. Through the greatness of Your power, Your enemies shall submit themselves to You. Come and see the works of God. He is an awesome God. Psalm 86, there is none like You among the gods. Verse 10, You are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Psalm 145, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. You know, one thing, when we come into the zone, we come into communion with God. We begin to think about who it is that we are worshiping. I'm worshiping my Creator today, am I not? I'm worshiping God Almighty. I'm worshiping the One that created, again, the molecular field of our world. He created the universe. He created all things within. He created me. He created life. Right now, I enter into communion with Him. I enter into this spiritual zone where I am lifting up my God for His awesome greatness in who He is. Now, we all know when you stand before greatness, there's something that does to you. It's kind of like a young man in a company who stands before, you know, the CEO, you know, of a company of 200,000 people, you know, or something like that. It kind of stands in awe of him, you know. To stand before a king, to stand before, you know, a president, there's just something in that, to stand before greatness. But in worship, there is the identification of who God is. It is to stand before Him in His greatness. Right now, we are in His presence. Our great God is with us. The psalmist was overwhelmed by this fact, and he connected to the greatness of his God. When we worship together, we come together to worship. It is not, you know, to take what Hebrews says in 10:25, 23-25, and again, check that box and say, well, I did it, I'm supposed to do it, now I did it, now I'm on my way. I'm coming to exalt Almighty God, who is the God of all men. And right now, every one of us stand naked before Him. He's looking at your very soul, and is your soul in connection with your God. We serve an Almighty God. We could talk for months only on that subject. We come together and we connect in great hope. Think about this, Psalm 39, 6 and 7. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I do? What do I wait for? What about my life? Others are about riches, but my hope is in You. You see the psalmist putting his life right into God. Psalm 42:11, why are You cast down, O my soul? Why are You disquieted within me? What's going on within me? Wait a minute. Let's default here. Let's reboot. Let's get back to how I need to think. Hope in God. Hope in God will remove that disquiet. hoping God will give me my peace. As I stand before God, it puts all things in perspective. Life is the hubbub of a bunch of junk that's going on, but I stand and I reboot before my God, and I understand the great hope that I have. I feel peace that comes from that, deep peace, that all is well as I stand with my Creator. It's a great hope that we have. Psalm 106 puts it like this: Save us, O Lord our God, gather us from among the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. To triumph in your praise, to right now sit and commune with God and consider that God is giving us triumph as we praise Him and put Him where He belongs. We are in His presence. There's an awareness of great blessing. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with blessing. Oh, that's a beautiful verse. To God the Lord belongs escapes, plural, from death. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. And this is where it takes us. We should stand. We should come before God in His presence, understanding our neediness before Him. Understanding He's my God. How I need Him to care for me. I'm not the island that stands without God as strong as I think I am. I stand in need of my God to bless me. I stand in need of His spiritual strength. It's awareness of blessing. That's all a part of connecting to our God. We come to holiness. When you commune with your God, it's the great opportunity to come down, and we sit down and we right now together think of the great holy God that we serve. What a holy God that has no concern about Himself, no self-service. A holy God that is given to the service of others, that would even give His Son for others. A holy God that cares not for sin, that is destructive and would destroy others. He's a holy God. Worship can be quite a clarifying thing for us as we consider His holiness. And then we think of our worship of Him and His holiness, and we consider our own holiness. And we have the convicting of our own conscience as we are worshiping our God in His great holiness. Worship is a great opportunity for us to think about where we are. Do we get that? You see what I'm saying? Worship gives us something very special. As we commune with our God, is to know who He is, and is to come to bring to light what we are in reference to our great God. And when I come in sin to my God, and I worship Him, you know, suddenly I become very conscious of my sin, right? My great God, Almighty, Holy God, I have a sin sitting here I need to fix, and you know, I sure do know it, my great God. To commune with God, to feel this wavelength, this link, this connection, and to grow in what comes out of this. Holiness is one of these things that can come from us, come to us. Strength to overcome. From whence comes my help? Again, song of ascents. This was a worship song. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord your keeper. The Lord shall preserve you. Your goings out, you're going out and you're coming in. The Lord will preserve you. Here's your God. You stand before God and you're understanding your need of your God, and your God that you know is one that is the God of resource. When you connect to your God, it gives you strength. It puts all things in perspective. And it helps you to overcome, as we said, even with the word triumph. When we come to worship, there's the great understanding of God's expression towards us and the opportunity to express our hearts to God. The Lord takes pleasure in His people. Right now, we're in His presence. And how does God feel at this very moment? How does God feel about you at this very moment? God takes pleasure in you. What's your name? Fill in the blank. God takes pleasure in you. God loves you. We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. We think about you. We've come to worship you and remember your love. What time is it anyway? Oh, yeah. What's the score? No, God, let me be taken by your deep love. and who you are. Because your loving kindness is better than life. Do you get that? Better than life, my God, I stand before you. My heart in connection to yours. Your love is better than my life. And I will love you, O Lord, my strength. Here's our opportunity, you see, to think of the expressions of God towards us and our own expression towards God. We're talking about true discipleship, aren't we? Not churchianity. Not lovers of data. But lovers of God, lovers of Christ, following His Word because we love Him, following the data given by God, revealed by God, as a part of the mind of God, but being affected by the truth that He has given to us. And of course, in worship there should be great joy. I don't feel any joy in worship. I've got to get dressed. I had to get up early, get here. I get the kids ready. None of the family arguing on the way to serve it. No, you never do that, do you? You know, just the frustrations of it all. Get here, down here, take a deep breath. Okay, let's get this thing over with because I have to do it. Man, God meant for worship to be so much more. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with praises. Joyfully. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name. Do you feel joy when you come together? Do you commune with God? Do you get out of your life? Do you get out of your frustrations? Do you get out of your job? Do you get out of your pleasures, your fun, the things you're doing today, and to get your mind on God? You know what? There's joy in your God. When you worship your God and have that direct link, connection between you and your God, there's a strengthening joy that is there that fills your spirit. This is what life is. This is our existence. Right now, we should have the greatest joy of any population on earth. Because what's Warren Buffett doing today? What is President Trump doing today? They're not doing anything like we're doing. We're standing before God in His presence right now as those that He loves, as those that He's growing, as those that He receives and will receive to Himself. You know what? There's a great reboot in that. There's a great default to how we ought to think. When we come together, it should be for joy. Don't come together expecting how you're going to criticize, how you're not going to like this or that. Come and have joy. Spread the joy. Feel the joy. When you hear a song and it's not going well, feel joy in it. Someone's singing off key, feel the joy in it. Do you hear their voice? Do you hear their love of the Lord? Feel the joy in it. That song doesn't have a wonderful tune. That's usually the problem with songs, whether you like them or not. It's usually the tune. The content, though, is usually pretty good. Feel the joy. Read the joy. Feel it. Receive it. It's about exaltation of God and the joy that we feel just lining ourselves up and being in God. Brethren, this is a joyful and a wonderful thing. As we worship and we connect, we of course come to the exaltation of God and the humble placement of ourselves before Him. And as we said a few weeks ago, this is what we're designed for. These are the design parameters right here. God is our God, and we are created by God to love Him, serve Him, and live with Him forever. That's our design, period. Got it? And that's who you are. Worship is to return to our design parameters, to our design function. We are to line up with our God, live in our God, be focused on our God. You know when we do that? We are at our best. When we line up with our God, we are in fellowship with our God, we're obeying our God, we are in the best quality that we can be, in the best character that we can be, in the best function we can be. Everything that we can be is the best that it can be. When we are in connection with God in our lives, certainly. But even as we come to worship and the refinement that can take place as we have put our minds and our hearts on God, hey, we were designed to do this. And there's strength in this. See the purpose. how important this is. We are in the presence of God. Being in the presence of God, we should come and say, sing to the Lord a new song. Who agrees with that? Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due to His name. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The Lord reigns. Don't be thinking about the score of the game. Don't be thinking about trying to get to the kids' game on time. Don't be thinking about what you're going to be doing later. Wow. We're in His presence. Let God be exalted. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Psalm 103 is so powerful. Also verse 20, we come back to that worshipful heart we saw earlier. Do you remember? Bless the Lord, you His angels. Angels, do you realize who you're standing before right now? There's the heart of the psalmist, just in awe of his God, saying, angels, do you get it? As we said, all of his armies, do you get it? Oh, my soul, I want to get it. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Who is that? Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Who is that? I don't know. Some religious people I know, they seem to have some joy when they come together. This is the people of God. It's you and me, right? You know what? We have to think this way. We have to make it happen. We have to come and worship God and then have the symptoms of that come out within us when we think correctly under our God, worshiping our God. What a beautiful communion we have. Psalm 106:48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, amen. Praise the Lord. Let all the people say, let all the people say, amen. Praise the Lord. When we come together, we want to praise the Lord. It's not the criticality between what's going on between people. It's not letting the social problems that exist among Christians to live. It's not thinking about the frustrations of the world, not thinking about financial worries. It is to come to God and praise the Lord and let all the people say, amen. Amen. We are in His presence. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. With a whole heart, let's sing. For the water, so my soul has. long to worship you. Do we understand how we missed the point? Let's run through this. What can help me as I worship? God is calling you to true worship. Remember what it means. And recognize Satan does not want you to truly worship. He loves for you to love the analytical and only the data without letting God's Word impact your heart. Don't live there. Seek true worship, not religion. Grow in your worship. Make this happen in your heart. It is your job as well as the meaning of your life to connect with your Savior, connect with your God. Focus when you worship, not on objects of criticism. Try closing your eyes. That's very helpful to improve your focus. Get your mind off the quality of the outward, even if the quality is coming out of your own vocal cords. Consider your neediness. Consider your smallness. Consider His grace and love and what that really means. Consider His awesome power. Consider His beautiful fellowship and allow the tears to come when you are convicted as you stand before your God and you're talking about His holiness. Let yourself get convicted. Feel the tears. It's what it's all about, brethren. Let God touch your conscience. Worship is to help us to get our consciences touched and to get our minds on Him, in exalting Him to lower ourselves to fit where we're supposed to be and how we're designed before God. Don't allow worship failure. If you went, I didn't even worship today, and I just left today and just dry feeling. Now I have to go back again next Sunday too. You know, it's going to be continual, regular. Don't let that happen. Wake up for Saturday night. Tomorrow, I worship my God. Tomorrow, I pour my praise out to my God. Tomorrow, I have the joy of a communion with my God. Tomorrow, I look forward to. And if you're not here because you'd rather be here, be somewhere else, you need to read the gauges on your dashboard. Because if you don't want to worship with God's people, what you're simply saying is worship means nothing. And maybe you've been in this data thing. And maybe you've not really understood what it's all about. Question your absence and what's going on with my faith if I don't want to go and to feel the joy and communion with my God and the hope and the strength and the conviction and the communion with my God. Amen. If you need to obey the Lord, you have a great God. Let's worship Him. Let us shout joyfully for Him, for God is our God. He's calling you to Himself. Why not use this opportunity that all things are ready? There's water right here. You can be baptized. God is calling you to His worship, calling you to His fellowship and glory. Don't waste your opportunity. Obey the Lord right now as together we stand and as we sing.